Okay, we left off yesterday with the discussion of what Rabbi Elazar meant by...
We left off last time
with the discussion of what Rabbi Elazar meant by Mikudeshes V'yashlim, which sounds like it's an absolute kedushin. And then a chi of tashlum. And on the other hand, the Gemara says it's as if he said almanas, and almanas usually is a conditional tonight. So we saw two opinions. One opinion was the Avli Miluim and the Yesh Omen in the Tosus Riyazakein and one Gersa in the Rambam, right, which had Vihu Yashlim. Remember, we saw the two different ways of reading the word Vihu, which said that the Almanas is not a condition here, but merely a stipulation. And they say it is a absolute kiddushin, right, plus a chov. Right, mikudeshes is an absolute kiddushin. A chov means that in exchange you agree to give me a certain amount of money. And it's not like the normal way we're used to thinking of almanas. Literally, mikudeshes v'yashlim.
What if he died right before
when
he didn't finish the
chov? What if he died without paying the chov? She's still mikudeshes. She's still an almana. He's even chalitza, whatever the case may be. And he dies owing her money, so she has a lien on his estate. And according to the Din of the Gemara, she has a lien on his estate. If there's real estate, she collects. If there's no real estate, she doesn't collect. That's it. It's a kedushin.
I know that the Avni Mulum says that, but why can't we say that the Tosfos Riyazakein and the Yeshem and the Rambam and whatever is the same stuff for a different reason? Like maybe like Rashi and Lamed Vav that you gave us.
Okay, but because that doesn't seem to be their lashon. Their lashon sounds like she's absolutely mikudeshes no matter what. And especially in the contrast of the Tosfos Riyazakein, it sounds in the Rambam like mikudeshes v'hu yashlim. Mikudeshes means mikudeshes. It doesn't say if. Maybe you could say. I'm just saying that's not the pashut pshat. But there's an absolute kiddushin plus a chom, plus a chov. Chaim mentioned to me that some of the achronim suggest, well, where's the chov come from? The chov comes from you stipulate that in exchange for the kiddushin you'll owe her a certain amount of money. Just like I can buy a house and say, I'll pay you $100 at signing, and I'll owe you the rest. Likewise, I can get married and say, I'll pay you a dinar now, and I will owe you the rest. Maybe that means that, if we go back to remember Kesef Kinyan and Kesef Piron, that there is a Kesef Piron for Kiddushin, there's a value, you're paying the price, maybe that's what it means. Or maybe no, maybe that's it. It doesn't necessarily mean the price for a woman. Doesn't mean, it just means that it's the price for agreeing to this transaction. In exchange for agreeing to do the transaction I want, I'll owe you a price, you know, just like perhaps I can pay your price for agreeing to do anything I want. Okay, that's one approach. The second approach we saw was the Tosfos Riyazakein himself, and the Shita Lo Nodalami, and the further opinions in the Meiri. But the Shita Lo Nodalami said it the clearest, and the Tosfos Riyazakein. Okay, there's subtle differences we won't get into now. Tosfos Riyazakein himself, and that's another Gersa in the Rambam. Right? The other Gersa in the Rambam is Mikudeshes v'hu shiyashlim. Mikudeshes if he's mashlim. If he is, yes. If not, not. That is just a plain condition. He is the choice. Right? So, it is a... it is just a regular condition. And it sounds like he is the choice. This is very explicit in the Shita L'Nodalami. Right? If he wants, he can pay, and she'll be mikudeshes. If he doesn't want, he cannot pay, and she won't be mikudeshes. It's up to him to decide what to do. In which case, it's like a regular almanas. The almanas works well. We said, where do they come from? In the Lashon and the Gemara, This works well in the Lashon of Mekudeshes V'yashlem. And this works well in the Lashon of Kimanda Amarla Almanasdami. Kimanda Amarla Almanasdami. Because clearly the regular Almanas means a condition. We'll see later if it happens, yes. If not, no. It could go either way. The third opinion is I think, you know, perhaps it's unclear exactly where they're coming from, where the Ritva is coming from. But the Ritva says that Mikudesh is a Tanai. But it's not a Tanai he can decide to do whatever he wants. Rather, it's a Tanai and we force him to pay or
free her.
Or to free her or to give a get. We force him to pay or to give a get.
He has to give a get.
Well, otherwise, it's she's going to be good forever.
No, but because the Ritva agrees to the Shita of Nandalami that this Tanai isn't something that he never has to fulfill. So therefore, just tell him to let her go.
That's not what it sounds like from the Ritva, because the problem is, what if he just says, I'll let you go, I'm not going to fulfill it? This is a big machlokas Rishon, which we're not getting into now. The famous mucker of this machlokas Rishon is the Rashban, Gittin Dafayin Vav, but also the Miriah and brackets discussed this, and quoted the Itter and the Rashban and everyone else. What if he says, that's it, I'm not paying, I'll let you go, forget it. And then it changes his mind and pays. Meaning, so according to some Rishonim, right, according to, for example, the Rashba, etc., if he changes his mind and pays, he's still Mekudeshes. Like, he can't actually, like, end the story. That's a big machlokas. Can he just say, that's it, I'm not paying, and cancel? Or no, it depends what happens. So according to the Ritva, it seems like, give me a second, says the Ritva, it is a regular condition, but Kofin oso lehashlim o liftor mishumiguna. Right? But we force him to either pay or release her, which I assume the Ritva means here, give a get. That's what liftor generally means. Because miguna, because it's not fair to her, right? She can live another 60 years. She doesn't know. Maybe someday he'll come pay. Maybe someday he won't come pay. And we know that even if he pays against her will, it counts. We paskin paying against the person's will counts as paying. So therefore, she can't. She doesn't know what to do. She has nothing on him because he says maybe I won't pay. She can't marry anyone else because maybe he will pay, and then she'll be retroactively married to him. So therefore, she's stuck. So mishumaguna, we force him to pay or to release her. Morty?
Yeah, I agree with him. The lashon of liftor doesn't mean again. It's on release her in such that he makes clear that he will never pay. Because he says at the beginning, perish being low, he should be made a mekudeshet.
For sure, it's a regular condition, right? If you never pay, she's not mekudeshet.
So releasing
her. But perish low, the avol hishlam or some other mekudeshes. Establish a governor so the hashlam will lift or some sort of agenosav or amr lo o kenos o ptor. Again, the Gemara is quoting Okinos Oftor, is talking about the Gemara he's quoting, so I get that doesn't necessarily prove anything here. Okay, so we'll leave it, you know what? We'll leave it as Liftor, right? Because basically, there's a machlokas we've shown in the Me'iri quotes in the continuation of this long Me'iri. Whether if I made it tonight, can I ever just say, okay, that's it, I'm not filling the time, Mavato, the Cholos is over, or does it still depend what happens in the future? So if the Ritva thinks you can just say, I'm never going to do it, then maybe that's what he means. Just cancel it. If the Ritva thinks there's no such thing as canceling, he must be giving a get. Okay, I can leave that ambiguous if you want. Lehashlem o liftor is what he says. You have to resolve it one way or the other because of iguna, and maybe that's what he's trying to do, to say it's a real tanai, but yet it says v'yashlem. Why did it say v'yashlem? If it's a real tanai, let him do whatever he wants. The answer is, because we make him imashlem or poter, because he can't leave her in Aguna forever.
Yeah, no, because the language, Kenos means to marry her or to her. If you have to give a get, she's already married. So what is the language?
Okay, but the Gemara usually uses that for like an Arus who delays the Nisuin. So either do the Nisuin or give her a get. So on other places in the Gemara, it means give a get, but I admit it's not Mokra.
A get would work if she's not even married. What happens? He gives her a get, and then a week later he gives her money.
So it could be a get working money. If he never gives her the money, she was never married. If he does give her the money, she was retroactively married and divorced. So either way, she's allowed to remarry.
But in this...
Because it's retroactive. Okay. What? No, it'd be a Safek Grusha forever.
According to the mitzvah, if he dies before he does anything, what's his condition?
Then she's a pluria. She was never married. That's the difference between... If he dies, according to the Shidun Lodolami and this Girsa, she's still married. Right? She just has a lien on his estate. But according to the Avnei Miluim, right, if he dies, right, this is abundantly clear. If he dies without paying, she is an almana, according to, and she is a pnuya, if you hold, it's a real tanai, right? If it's a real tanai, he never paid, she's a pnuya. The machlokas is, what if he just says, I give up without paying? That's the machlokas, whether that has halachic effect or not. And maybe that's what the Ritva means by poor. However, and maybe he's trying to like have his cake and eat it too. On the one hand, it's a tanai. On the other hand, he has to be mashlim. But if it's a tanai, why does he have to be mashlim? He has two options. He has to be mashlim shemaguna, because it's not nice to leave someone with two options. Even though he doesn't have to be mashlim. Right? So maybe he's influenced by, by both Lashonos, even though clearly... he's not saying Mekudeshes v'yashlim, he's saying Mekudeshes v'yashlim o yiftor. But, perhaps the assumption is he'd rather be mashlim than be poter. The Me'iri here has a, and Agav, what about the Shidul Nodlami? The Shidul Nodlami is pretty clear that we don't force him. Right? He's clear that we don't force him.
Maybe we just meet then.
Clear that we don't force him. Right? And at least the Shita Lono, like, the Tosri Yazakin's not clear whether or not we force him. He doesn't mention forcing him.
Shita Lonodolami also doesn't mention anything about Gudas Namachrach. We didn't. No,
I don't think so. The Shita Lonodolami, at least, is clear that we don't force him. Why don't we force him? He makes it very clear. His Lashon, I can open it, right? His Lush Shin alone is pretty clear that we give him a choice.
And that edition, you'll see on the bottom, will be notes that say that they agree.
No, I don't have notes in this edition. But he says, very clearly, the Lomatzi Lemesve Bedina Sheyashlala. She can't take him to Bezin and say he should pay. He can do whatever he wants. And then he says, and he can't cancel it either, even if he says, I don't want to pay you. If tomorrow he pays, it still works. So he says, basically, he doesn't have to pay, and he also doesn't have to cancel it, because he can't cancel it. And therefore, the only way for her to resolve her situation is, if he dies, then he goes with no good. It sounds clear he doesn't have to pay. The Mishnah Melech quotes from Ariba son, who actually doesn't really shoot alone me. But says, yeah, Taka, we're not worried about Iguna here. Taka, he can string her along forever, according to the Shidun Lodolami. Why? Because normally you can't be ma'agin a woman, but over here, if she agreed to this tonight without a time limit, then she agreed that he could string her along. So therefore, if she agreed, then it's not our problem. Okay, so there seems to be a machlokas in the Shidun Lodolami and the Ritva, a small technical machlokas, just about how much we worry about Igun. Shidun Lodolami says, we don't even worry about Igun here, he's the choice forever. Because if she doesn't worry, then we don't worry. And the Ritva says, even though she didn't worry, we do worry. Even though she had bad judgment, we still step up and try to help her anyway, and we force him. The last
she
does. What?
She
accepted the dinar on condition that he would give him mana. She also knew that it meant almanas.
What if she says now, that's okay with me. He can have as long as he wants.
Oh, then the Ritva would admit that he as long as he wants. Yeah, if she, it's only been on the Chavero, it's up to her. The Me'iri has a fourth opinion. Says the Me'iri in his... The Me'iri has many opinions here, but the Me'iri's first opinion here is... Me'iri, in his first opinion, says very clearly it's a condition. If he pays, she's married. If he doesn't pay, she isn't married. It's a conditional marriage, but we force him to pay. Conditional marriage, but we force him to pay. Right? It's a regular condition, but kofin oso lehashlim, we force him to pay.
That's a chov. What does that mean?
No, but it's not like Avnu. The Avnu says she's married absolutely.
We
force him to pay. He says she's not married absolutely. What's an Avnu? If he dies without paying, she's a Pnuya. She was never married, right? It's a regular condition, yet we force him to pay anyway. And it sounds that way from the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis in the third parak as well. There's a similar case in the third parak of the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis of Hariat Mekadeshli Almanas. But there it's not as if. He actually did say Almanas, I'll give you a mana. And the lashon of the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis is that he's clear that it's a Tanai. I'm sorry, can a young person help me out and tell me where the Pirush Mishnayis is in Oz V'Hadar?
Before the riff.
And it is. Look at that. Says the Rambam, he's very clear that it's a Tanai. Masha Amar V'yitzin, Rosh Lomar, Shu Chayev Litein, he says he's Chayev to pay. Lefikach, Shenosei Nasim Kadesh V'shas Kabbalah Sakidushin. And when he pays, then she is Mekadeshes retroactively. Kilo Amar L'Ariyat Mekadesh Me'achshav V'achshav L'Chachayim Zos. And so he says, you'll be Mekadesh retroactively when I give you 100 Zos. So clearly, it's a conditional marriage. She's not absolutely married. She's only married retroactively if he pays. But he has to pay. So that's also the pshat of the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayis. The Perish HaMishnah also says, Chayiv Litein, you have to pay. But it's a condition. It's not like the Avdim Yiluun that's an absolute kedushin with a chov. You have to pay. And she's only married retroactively if you pay. It's a real condition. But you have to pay. Here's an interesting question. It's a real condition. Why does he have to pay? When I make a condition, I should have the choice to go either way. So what does the Rambam mean? What does the Meiri mean? Why should he have to pay? And if you say Mishamiguna, so you should tell me it's resolved one way or the other. But why should he have to pay? Is a little unclear. Why should he have to pay? So let's just make room for this question. What? Yeah, and why should we force him to get married? He gave himself two options. I understand if we force him, pick one of the two options and resolve the situation, should be good. I can hold like the Ritva. Matter of fact, if I had to pick, I would pick the Ritva over the sheets and little over me. Even if she made a mistake in judgment, let's be nice to her anyway and help her out. But why should he have to be married? Maybe Taki didn't want to be married. Maybe he said, you have a Kadesh, I give you 200 Zos because he wanted to have time to think about whether he wants to be married or not. And maybe in the end he doesn't want to marry her. So why do we force him? What?
Is that because he has a
cold? So, what's shot here enforcing her? What's shot here enforcing her? So in the Rambam, maybe you could say Lavdavka. He didn't really mean he's chayiv to pay. He just meant, like, he's chayiv to pay if he wants to be married. But that's not the simplest part of the Rambam Pirush Mishnah. And it sounds like he really has to pay. And if you want, maybe you could even stick that into this Girsa in the Rambam, even though shot of the Girsa of Hu Yashlim. Sounds like the Avnu Miluim. Maybe because they know he means it is conditional, but he has to pay. Once he has to pay, they're going to end up married.
What's the difference between 3 and 14, the Ritva and
the Ritva says you have to pay or release her.
The Miri
says just you have to pay. So just you have to pay.
There's no problem being Kofel and Kiddushin?
No, because you're only Kofel and Tanai, you're only indirectly Kofel and Kiddushin. So apparently, I could see. Meaning, if someone had said there was a problem, it would make sense. But I could see saying it's not a problem. Lemaisa, what's pshat? So I can't prove to you a pshat is in the Meiri and the Perush HaMishnah. I can just tell you what I think the possibilities might be.
Well, the point is that the advantage of this pshat has is that it's the best
delay. Exactly. Right. This, precisely, this perfectly fits both Lashonos in the Gemara. Meaning, I don't mean both are shown as two opinions. I mean the two formulations. This perfectly fits the language of the Gemara. The one hand, it's a real Tanai. It's a real Tanai. Maybe yes, maybe no. But on the other hand, the Mekudeshes V'Yashlim, he really has to pay, and then she's going to end up Mekudeshes. Okay, but why? Like, why doesn't he have the choice? So I can only think of if you count very Dachuk things, three possibilities. So, why does he have to pay? So if you want a very dogged possibility, you can always say, Lav Dafka. He didn't really mean he had to pay. He really meant the Ritva. He has to pay or release her. They just didn't express themselves fully. Okay, but, I mean, they could have said so. So this is a little dachuk. You could say, Lav Dafka. And they really meant, the Meiri really meant, Lehashlim, O Liftor. okay, but that's not so pashut. The other option is that that lahashtemo liftor mishum iguna. The second option is that it's also mishum iguna. There's just a technical difference with the Ritva. That it's mishum iguna, but there's no good option of liftor, so he has to pay. What do I mean by this? And this is also, I think, a little dochah, because you have to make a lot of assumptions. But maybe you could say, really, he just has to release her from her ego in one way or the other. Lahashlem or liftor. Either marry her or not marry her. But there's no good way to not marry her. Because how's he going to not marry her? If he just says, I'm not going to pay you anymore, but maybe he'll change his mind and pay her. She's still not going to. And he'll say, no, he'll say, I'm absolutely canceling it. Maybe he holds like the Shidun Lodami, that he doesn't have the right to absolutely cancel it. Who says he can cancel it? He can say all he wants. I'm not going to pay. I'm canceling it. That's it. I'm never paying. We're not married. But if tomorrow he changes his mind and pays, she'll be married retroactively.
Give a get.
What? And if you say give a get, if you say, can't he just give a get? Maybe. What happened to the heat?
Oh, wow.
The, oh. Someone turned it on to, air conditioning. Okay. All right. I moved it from air conditioning to heat. Okay, look at that. This is probably all a trick on me. It worked! Yes. Give me a taste of my own medicine. Okay, great. The you guys are much more clever than I thought. Now, okay, and if you say, want to just give a get, so maybe, hold this, is a lot of kiddushin. Maybe you can't give a get yet, because until the kiddushin are completed, you can't write a get. You can't write a get on kiddushin that are not yet completed. And if you'll say, oh, but they'll be completed retroactively, Mimanav Shach, Yonatan saying, Mimanav Shach, if there's no kiddushin, there's no problem. If there are kiddushins retroactive, so maybe you could say that, like Rav Chaim says in a few contexts, not necessarily in this one, that even though if she does the if he does the time, she'll be retroactively married. Yeah, she'll be retroactively married, klape, however you look at it from now on. But you still can't write a get until the marriage is complete. But Yonatan says that's a big assumption. That's a big assumption. What my Rebbe likes to call Rav Chaim says about other things, like about Bonimer and Kusimanim, etc., that it's like, it's Lama Freya, but only Lama Freya Mikanel Hava. You still can't do anything yet.
So a Hesper could be because it lacks
no Shmuck. Or you could say it's a lack of
Shmuck. You know that you're going to do it. Dachuk, really
because you have to assume both, you have to assume both that you can't, both that you can't, just back out of Kiddushin, and I mean, you can't just say I'm not paying it back out. No, it's still hanging, and which is the more difficult assumption, that you can't give a get, which is difficult. Why can't you give a get? If I'm not married, it's a get, and then who cares? If I am married, it's a valid get. You have to say you can't give a get in this situation where you have a marriage that's not yet fully coalesced. Because you can only even get if the kiddushin is coalesced. And even if Lema Freya will coalesce, that's not good enough to give a get. But I understand that's a big chiddush and it's dochuk.
And you can give a get on tonight.
Correct, and you can give a get me suffik. What if I suffik marry a girl? I can give her a get, right? So it's not so pashut.
But it wouldn't help. Even if you say you could, it wouldn't help.
Sure,
she couldn't get married. Because she couldn't get married because at some point
the
marriage would take effect, and then a split second later, the get would take effect.
But no, remember retroactivity. The marriage would take effect 5 years ago, right. And then the get would take effect 4 years ago, and then she's fine. And she got married 3 years ago, and she was fine. Once she gets the get, she can get married. If she did this funny kiddushin in January, gives a get in February, she can get married in March, and if he pays her money later, she'll retroactively be married in March, divorce in February, but fine when she got married.
A general example of the machane between saying it was Lama Freya, but only Mikado Haba versus the standard.
Versus an authentic Lama Freya. The If I recall correctly, I can. The question is just, can I remember it without getting confused? Okay, you know what? Look, there's a. If you want to, I'm a little afraid that I might get confused when I say it, but I'll give you a marimakom for it. If you want a marimakom, look at the Reb Chaim on. Helchus, I think it's anyone have a claim here?
Yeah.
Is there a claim on Isha's Perek Dalet? No. Is there a Chaim in Isha's Perek Dalet? Okay. At the end of Shira, it'll come to me. When it pops into my head, I'll shout it out. Hold on. Now, but I admit these are dachuk. What's Pashup Shot? Give me a second. What's Pashup Shot in the Me'iri? And maybe this Raman Perish Rishnayas, if you take them seriously, they really mean Chayiv Litein, but they really mean it's just conditional. If it's conditional, why is he Chayiv Litein? So I think what you have to say, I think the Pashup Shot is that you have to say that this unique formulation is Tzvei Dinim. The Adli Miluim is right, and the other Rishonim are right. It's Tzvei Dinim. That it is both a condition and a stipulation of an obligation. The Adli Miluim says it's not a condition. It's an absolute unconditional marriage. You're just stipulating that you owe her money. And the other Rishonim say, no, you're not stipulating you owe her money. It's up to you to pick. It is merely a condition. And then either it's up to you to pick, do whatever you want, or it's up to you to pick. Because of Egon, we make you pick wisely. Or rather, we make you pick quickly. But maybe what the Me'iri holds is that it's Tzvei Dinim. Really, when you say, why would it be two Dinim? Because you're saying a very strange formulation. Right? You're saying a very strange formulation. Right? Hare at Mekudesh Libamana, and you give her a dinar. What do you mean by that? So it's, on the one hand, it's like an almanas in that you mean a condition, because you say, if I'm giving you a money, yes, if not, not. But on the other hand, you promise her a money. Right? On the other hand, you promise her a money. Yeah. So especially in our case, on the one hand, you made a condition. On the other hand, you promised her a money. You didn't say maybe. You said, I'll give you a money. So therefore, you're saying two things at once. You're both saying, I'm obligated to give you a money, and you're saying that it's a condition in the marriage. So maybe it's both things at once. That's a little tricky. And for the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos, it's a bigger chiddush, because in his case, you actually said the word almanas. But again, almanas can sometimes mean on condition. Almanas can sometimes mean I'm stipulating what the exchange will be, what will make it worth your while. And maybe in cases where it makes sense it should be a condition. She only wants to be married if she got a mother. But it also made sense it should be a stipulation, because you're not really saying something that will be quickly resolved one way or the other. Maybe you mean Tzvei Dinim, both.
Wait, I know you kind of just said it, but can you elaborate? Why did Machin say that's the call of the Rukul? Every single time it's either Rambam Perish or Mishnayos, it's saying Almanas.
Right, so for the Me'iri, it's clear.
Right.
Right? For the Rambam Perish or Mishnayos, you have to say, because when I make a Tanai that there's a clear way of resolving whether or not I do it, like I'll do this within 30 days, or if this person agrees, etc., then I obviously mean merely condition. When I make it tonight that there's no clear way of resolving, like I'll sometime in the next 1,000 years I'll give you a money, well, then
fine, it's still a ton of cases. I mean, if I say I'll give you, could be.
Okay, but at least for the Me'iri, it makes perfect sense, right? It actually makes sense for the Me'iri, right? Why? At least for the Me'iri, because of the unique formulation he used. After all, he said, Harry had conditionally been money and gave her a dinar, which implied tonight, but also implied owing her a money.
Isn't it strange this is more more seriously treated than other things which are halakhically like valid, like a mishpara, that once you actually have some sort of a kinyan, but Chazal didn't feel the need to insist to go through with it. Instead, they said, okay, you know what, you're going to be cursed.
Okay, okay, but on the other hand, in a mishpara, you didn't do a halakhically significant act.
You did more than that.
What do you mean? Here you did a ma'aseh kedushin.
But you did. You set up.
Okay, fair enough. So Chesky is saying it's a chiddush, because after all, if it might turn out she was never mikudeshes, how can I owe her the money? Maybe she was never mikudeshes. Okay, that's why it's a chiddush. Okay, so you have to pick your way of understanding the meiri.
Meaning it's because of your moral obligation that you imply that you would do something, so you have to fulfill it. So I would say that mishapara is even more than that, and yet we don't force it.
And, but,
so you want to learn that this meiri, this possibility of meiri, goes against the Rashba B'Shem HaTur in Gittin, that says every time that there's an almanas me'achshav thing, there's no obligation. You want to create like a separate category?
Correct, or at least in this funny lashon where you didn't actually say almanas, it's just as if you said almanas.
Okay.
But that's not so crazy.
But that's going to be nekudati.
Right. Okay. Anyway, lemaisa then, we have four ways of understanding what Rabbi Elazar actually meant to say the halachas. We tried to explain the Hesber. The Me'iri was definitely the best way in terms of explaining all the language, all the phrases in the sugya is the toughest way to figure out what the halacha is, because every way, what the svar is, each way has something a little dachuk about it, but we will leave that for now, and we'll go on in the Gemara. I'll just point out, there's a famous Rabbi Kiva Abram, the Gilgamesh Shashan Shavuos, that Rashi in Shavuos says, the Gemara says, Amen has many things. It has Kabbalah's Devarim, it has Hamanas Devarim, it has Shavua, it has various things. Amen has a lot of power. One of them is accepting things. What does Rashi say accepting things mean? If a guy makes it tonight, the other guy says Amen, he has to do it. So the Gilgamesh Shas Rebbe says, what do you mean he has to do it? If he wants the chalos to happen, he should do it. And if he doesn't want the chalos to happen, he won't do it. You don't have to do it tonight. You have a choice either way. So maybe you could say that Rashi didn't literally mean you have to do it. But maybe you could say that, no, Rashi's similar to Meiri. There could be Tzvei Dinim in tonight. Meaning, just Rashi thinks a regular Tanai, you have the choice. But if you add the word Amen, then it's a condition, but you also have to do it. Because now you've also made an obligation in addition to a condition. And maybe that Rashi would go with the Me'iri. The Me'iri is talking about when you say a funny language like Harei Mekudesh is B'man and give a dinar. Rashi is talking about when you say Amen, but there are special cases of Tanai. No one say in every case of Tanai you have to say dinar. But there are special cases of Tanai.
Why wouldn't there? Is it all over Shasta?
What?
Why? Is it because it's all over Shas?
Because it doesn't seem that way in all over Shas. But maybe in certain special cases of Tanai, maybe Rashi would add saying, Amen, you would have this Tzvei Dinim. If in fact that's what Rashi means, it's hard to tell 100%. Meaning, you could say Rashi just meant that you have to do it if you want the chalos. Or you could even say Rashi is like the Avnei Lom, you have to do it and it's not conditional.
Right. Okay. It's that clear, though, because then you could say what we said in the Rambam Pirshim Mishnayos, that if you say Amanas, then you're...
Right, but you have to then restrict that category to a small subset of Tanayim. And what I would restrict it to...
Well, you have Amanas and you have Amin, so...
No, so you'd have to say that Rambam didn't mean all Amanases. He only meant an Amanas with... He only meant an Amanas that is paying something, meaning as opposed to if Abba wants, you know, Manashi to Abba, and that has no time limit. So that's why it would also be dachuk. You'd have to draw your lines. You'd have to gerrymander.
Mari Bassin doesn't say that.
I know, but he's saying the opposite. He's saying you have the choice, not that you have to pay.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, okay. Continuing the Gemara. The Gemara then is Kikashon or Relotzer, Mesvei. Right? I'm in the second to last skinny line. His kachshu b'monavay b'monavaholei. If I say you must be mekudeshu with this $100, and I was counting out for what's that? And one of them wants to back out. I feel b'dinar afro. And even if I paid 99, I'm about to give the 100th. You can still back out. It's not a kal. Harishus b'yado. You can back out. So that proves against what Relotzer says. Once I pay the first, it's kedushin. It's just a tanai. But we see from this brisa that no, the kedushin is not kal till I pay all 100. So the answer is, Hachamai Eskina Dormana Zo. No, that's because in this case, I said Mana Zo. This is the case where I said, meaning where Elijah says, if I say a mana means a mana I'll pay you later. The bride says, if I say this mana means I have to pay you now. That's why I said this mana, not any mana, because I'm going to pay you this mana right now. The assumption is, when someone says this mana, he means now. Because otherwise, why is he saying this mana? The Gemara then asks, "How many to seifa manazu reisha manastam? The seifa's manazu, the reisha must be manastam." The katani seifa, because what is seifa? Say, "Amrli is kachli manazu." If he says, "Been conditioning with this mana," the nimtza mana chaser dinar, and it turns out that the mana was missing a dinar, it was only 99. Like you give her a bad, and when you count it, it turns out to be 99. Oh, dinar shel nechoshes, or it had one counterfeit dinar, meaning a copper dinar that was just counterfeit, right? Mm-hmm. Dinars have to be silver, so that's really 99 dinarin. And the Mekudeshes, the Kedushin is not valid because he said, "I'll give you this money," and he only gave her 99. Dinar Ra, what if it just had a worn dinar, which was like, didn't have the official weight, right? It was just worn by being used for a long time, and instead of weighing a dinar, that's also a weight, it weighed, 96% of a dinar. Then, Harezim Mekudesh V'Yachlif, the valid Kedushin, and he just has to switch it and give her a full dinar instead.
What does he have to?
Oh, we'll get to that. So the say, but since the seifa is manazo, it says the words manazo. It must be by dia. The reisha doesn't say that. It must mean manastam, which is against relazer. The Gemara says no. Lo reisha was seifa darman manazo. Uferushe come and farish. The reisha and seifa are both when he said manazo. So if they're both when he said manazo, why didn't it? Reisha was seifa the amar manazo. The Reish and Sefer are both manazo. So why didn't just say manazo twice? Because Perush come first. The Sefer is explaining the Reisha. If one of them wants to retract, even at the 99% of the way through, and there's only one dinar left, they can retract. Ketzad. And what way can they retract? Kegon the Amar of manazo, like he said manazo, meaning the Sefer is manazo. Was explaining the Reish is also in manazo. But Hakanam Mistaber and Taka, Hakanam Mistaber means, I give this as an option to defend myself, but not only do I think it's an option, I think it's actually the right shot. How do we know? Hakanam Mistabra. The Isak the Reisha Manastam, Hasha Manastam, Lavi Kedusha Manazumi Baya. If the Reisha is Manastam, and in Manastam it's not Chal till you pay it all, then in Manazo, obviously, you don't need to tell us not Chal till you pay it all. Right? So if the Reisha was saying, when I say Mana, it's not Chal till I pay it all, obviously if you say Manazo, it's not Chal till I pay it all. No, so therefore it proves the ratio is manazo. No, imisham halo iria. If because of that, that doesn't prove anything. Tana seifa l'gluya ratio, because there's something called tana seifa l'gluya ratio, meaning maybe the ratio, basically what we said is this, if the ratio is manastam, you don't need the seifa. If the ratio is manazo, then you need the seifa to be mefarish the ratio. So that proves the ratio is manazo. No, it could be the ratio is ambiguous. The ratio you didn't know what it was till you got to the seifa, and tana seifa l'gluya ratio. The ratio you didn't know what it was, once the seifa said zo, that proves the ratio is not zo and it's tam. But you still need the seifa, because you wouldn't have known what the ratio was until the seifa.
Isn't the ratio coming far, it's just the other way?
Yes, exactly. Shalo toma ratio manazov, or manastam have a kedushin. So you won't think the ratio is manazov, or manastam, the kedushin is chal right away. Tana seifa manazov, the seifa teach manazov, and we call the ratio manastam to prove that the ratio, to imply that the ratio is manastam, vafilu hachlo have a kedushin, it's still not a kedushin, meaning you could still defend the idea that the price is against Rabbi Elazar. If the price is you either way, right? It could be the Reish's Manastam, which is against Rabbi Elazar, or it could be the Reish's Manazo, which fits fine with Rabbi Elazar. And either way, the Seifa is teaching you what the you didn't know anything for the Reish until you got to the Seifa. Just either you didn't know what the Reish was till the Seifa, if you wish to come a far east at Zo, or you didn't know anything about the Reish till the Seifa came to teach by contrast that the Reish is Stam. Okay, and says Ravashi Omer, Omar Mono Holichstein, he says Mono Holich is different. This Bryce's case is different. It's Mona Vahole. He's counting. Did I take a kule? Obviously, when you're counting, you're dasted on everything. Okay, so what's the normal way to understand this Gemara? Let's remember. Here we have Rabbi Elazar. Here we have the Kasha from the Bryce, right? And here we have the answer. The answer is Reisha b'manezo. And here we have A, Hachinami Mistabra, De Reisha b'manezo, but we're Dokha the Hachinami Mistabra by saying, usually it's a Lashon Dilma. Does it say Dilma? Imishom ha lo iria. Right. Imishom ha lo iria, which means, Efshar Dereisha bin Manestam. Right? It would be possible to say the Reisha was Manestam. And now, what does Ravashi come? How many tabs should I put before Ravashi?
None. Or really after the Kasha.
Exactly. Right? Says Ravashi, another answer. The Kasha is the Bryce is against Ravashi. Ravashi said you're Mekadesh right away. The Bryce said you're not Mekadesh until you finish paying. First answer was the Bryce is Manazon. Ravashi is Ravashi is Manastam. Says Ravashi, Monevaholech Shani. Rabbi Lazar is when you're not counting out, you're just giving her one. The price when you're counting out, if you just give her one, she intends this to be the Kedushin and the rest to be a Tanai. But if you're counting out, she obviously doesn't expect to be Kedushin until you finish counting. If I'm counting, you don't expect anything to be significant until I finish counting. You're just waiting for me to finish counting. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. There are two answers to the Kasha from the Brisa. Either Rabbi Lazar is Manastam, the price is Manazo, or Rabbi Lazar when you're not counting, the price is when you're counting. Shalom al Yisrael. Except, who makes problems here? The Rif and the Rambam. Right now, the Rif, there are different Gerses in the Rif. Remember, Tosfos Yazakin and others say, well, there's some other Gerses in the Rif that just quoted our Gemara. But the majority Gerses in the Rif are Gerses in the Rif, and what the Rishonim say was the majority Gerses and most of the copies of the Rif they found, and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Chananel, if anyone has an Otzer Gonim at home, if you look in the back of Rabbeinu Chananel, he skips Ravashi. The Rif skips Ravashi, the Rambam skips Ravashi, the Rabbeinu Chananel skips Ravashi. According to this, what should be the halacha? What should be the halacha? The halacha lefi Rav Ashi should be that manestam umone v'holek. If you're manestam and mone v'holek, then eina mekudeshes ad dinar achron. That's what Ravara, she's saying, forget manazo, the reish is kaka manestam, but since you're mone v'holek, you're not mekudeshes till you finish. However, that is not what the Rif and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Chananel imply. Right? What does the Rambam say? What does the Rambam say? He said, if you said manezo v'hischal limnos and you started counting, till the last dinar. If he said manezo and he counted, then she's not mekudeshes. Manezo umone v'holei is eina mekudeshes ad Dinar Achron. The clear implication is that Manestam Umone Vaholech. Why do you say Harim Kadeshli Bemanen Amone Vaholech? Then Mikudeshes Vyashlin. Mikudeshes is the first Dinar Vyashlin. That's a clear implication of the Rambam and the Rif from Minchanano. They reject Ravashi. They go with the first answer of the Gemara. If you say Manazo, that's different. But if you say Manastam and you count, that's not different. They reject Ravashi. The question is, what gives them the right to reject Ravashi?
Why can't we say that Ravashi is just explaining the very last thing we said in the Gemara?
We can. But I wanted to build up suspense. So the question is, what gives the Rambam and the Rif and the Rabbeinu Chananel the right to reject Rav Ashi? After all, not only does Rav Ashi have the last word in the sugya, which is usually worth something, but Rav Ashi is Basra. He's Sofara. He's the end. Right? He's the last generation.
Also, the Gemara kind of threw out the first teretz.
No, it threw out the Hachinami Mestabra. When you throw out a Hachinami Mestabra, it's not throwing out a teretz. That's why you have to go. Hachinam Mistab means not only is it a possible teretz, it must be true. The answer is no, it doesn't have to be true, but it still could be true.
But it's good enough to, cast a big shadow
right
on the teretz.
Okay, I would apostle like Ravashi, not me. The Rosh would apostle like Ravashi, and the Rosh apostle like Ravashi, and many Mishonim reject the Rif and the Rambam. They apostle like Ravashi, right? The who apostles this way, right? The Rosh, the Rashba, and many other Mishonim say, I don't understand the Rif. And the Me'iri even goes so far as to say, okay, what's the Me'iri's, what's one of the ways the Me'iri answers up the Rif? He says, how can the Rif reject Ravashi? Must be a Tal Sofer in the Rif. Okay, now, if it was just the Rif, it's Efter. You know, it could be. Problem is, once it's the Rif and the Rambam and Chananel, it can't be Tos Sofer in all of them. And in the Rif anyway, there are other Gersos, right? If it was just the Rif, you'd say Tos Sofer, there's some other Gersos, maybe that other Gersos is right. But once it's the Rif and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Chananel, it's before the Rif, it's after the Rif in his chain of Asorah, it's clear that was the Shita. So, how do you answer, right, the Stira Bain Rav Ashi to the Rif? So, as I pointed out, the Meiri says something which just is not going to work given, it's not going to work given the Rambam and the Rach. Right, but says the Meiri, it's a sofer in the Rif. Right, it's a bad gerus in the Rif, which again is not really going to work because it's not going to help us with the Rama. I'm not going to help us with the Riyafanana. So some Rishonim say he actually paskin against Rav Ashi. What gives him the right to paskin against Rav Ashi? So there are two technical answers in the Rishonim for what gives him the right to paskin against Rav Ashi.
I think I saw in the Magid Mishnah.
Good.
That he says
and the Rod.
That Rav Ashi is an Amora, and the first teretz was the Lashon of the Gemara.
Exactly, what they call the Stama de Gemara. Stama de Gemara means the Stam parts of the Gemara that have no name behind them, right? There's a big question as to where the Stama de Gemara came from. Okay, so The Ran and the Magid Mishnah assume, which is the generally accepted scholarly consensus nowadays, that the Stoma de Gemara came last, after all the Amorim with names came. Okay, there was one scholar who invented a word for the rabbis who lived after the Amorim who have names, the Stamoim. After all the Amorim, whose names are quoted in Shas, then was the generation of the Stamoim, the people who put together Shas and wrote Stam because they didn't feel it was their job to like say things that would be in the Masorah. It was just their job to put it together and to record their discussions. And the Stam comes after the Amoraim. Okay, that is the Pshat of the Ran and the Magid Mishnah. The Ran and the Magid Mishnah say it's Rav Ashi versus Stam. Stam is later than Rav Ashi through the rule of Hilchos Sukkah Basra. We always pass like later generations. We always pass like Stam against Rav Ashi. And he pointed out there's a Rif. Now, there isn't a Rif in Arvei Pesachim who actually says this in quite so many words. The Ran says, oh, just like the Rif in Arvei Pesachim. But there's a Rif in Arvei Pesachim that could be understood as meaning that we pass him like Stam, even against what's unique about Rav Ashi. He's the latest Amora. Even against the latest Amora, we pass him like the Stam. This is controversial. There were many Mepharshim who assumed Ravina Rav Ashi Sofara meant that Ravina Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara. If Ravina Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara, for example, there's a Shla who says, I'll tell you where it is. There's a Shla in Klolia Talmud. Klolia Talmud Simon Yud Aleph, apparently. I just printed it out from someone. Says, whenever there's a Stam followed by Rav Ashi, it must be the Stam or Rabbi before Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara. Why aren't there names? Because not every rabbi in every generation, they listed his name. Sometimes they just went down the discussion of the B'nai Yeshiva from before Rav Ashi. So there are those who assume Rav Ashi is the end of the Gemara. There's no one, the Stam is before Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi is so far. We see from our Gemara only from the Ran and the Magid Mishnah. Right? So if there's a machlokas, again, we're not getting into history and mechkar and everything here, but if there's a machlokas, did Rav Ashi write the last layer of the Gemara, or did he not? So, the Shla holds that. Maybe I'll just read you a line. I found this in secondary sources. Mm-hmm. I'm unfortunately not a bucky in the Shla. But he says, Rav Ashi, here we are. Rav Ashi Sidro Kemo Shemetzao. Rav Ashi Vesader, all the Lush of the Bnei Yeshiva as he found it. Or what he says here, the Bnei Yeshiva Asher Lefana Heshivo Eso Teret maybe more Stama. The Bnei Yeshiva before Rav Ashi wrote this Stam part. Rav Ashi Kvom also signaled, and Rav Ashi put in the Gemara in the form it is. The Shla assumes that Rav Ashi's the end of the line. All the Stam discussion must be before Rav Ashi or at the time of Rav Ashi. I mean, he says before or at the time. However, the Ramban Mishnah here, no, the Stam is after Rav Ashi. The Stam is after Rav Ashi. So if the Stam is after Rav Ashi, then you can say Hilchasik Basra, the Stam beats Rav Ashi. So we say Poskim. Kistama de Gemara Neged Rav Ashi. Ah, what does it mean? Ravina and Rav Ashi are Sofara. So here, I'm not sure what the round of Magen Mishnah would say. To be fair, I really should just look through all the rounds of Magen Mishnahs to see if they give us a clue anywhere. Because, you know, how can I speak on their behalf if I didn't check every sentence they wrote? But given that I haven't done that yet, I would say one of two things. You could say it in a... you could say two... What is Ravina Ravashi Sofa Ra? You could say one of two things. Either you could say... One of them is going to be a little tricky. Either you could say that I don't even know how to get this to work. Okay, many Rishonim say Ravina Ravashi Sofa Ra means they wrote the Gemara. If they wrote the Gemara, then it's tricky. Because how could the Stam be after Rav Ashi? So you could go on two things. One, you could say, no, Rav Ashi wrote half the Gemara, and Ravina wrote half the Gemara. And Ravina was much, much, much younger. Now, I don't know if Ravina was much younger than Rav Ashi, but I know that the Gerish Rav Shirgon implies, and that the Mevoah Talmud or Shmuel HaNagid says, that Ravina was much younger than Rav Ashi. So there's a mockery. I don't know if everyone agrees.
Yeah, Rav Ashi died in 425. Ravina the second died in about 500.
Exactly. That's a big gap. So we can say it means Rav Ashi wrote half the Gemara and Ravina wrote half the Gemara. No, so the Stama in our sugya was written by Ravina from the rabbis who lived in between Rav Ashi and Ravina and was later than Rav Ashi.
What's okay. The order that Rav Ashi and Ravina wrote the Gemara in the first place?
The Gemara says Rav Ashi Ravina Sof Hora. That's a Gemara. Yeah. That Gemara was written before they were born. That was a nevuah. But okay, the Gemara assumes it was a true one. Now, so one option, I'll say, how do you defend the Ran and the Magen Mishnah? One option, B'dochak, is to say, Rav Ashi wrote half the Gemara, Ravina wrote half the Gemara, and they knew that this Stama was written by Ravina and came after Rav Ashi.
Oh, yeah.
The other option is just to say, very pasha, Sof Hora doesn't mean they wrote the Gemara. Right. Sof Hora means they're the end of the Amoraim whose Horas are quoted in the Gemara. Because after them came the Stamaim, whose Shaklavataria analysis is quoting in the Gemara, but whose Horos are not quoting the Gemara. What's the difference between the Stam and the named Amoraim? The named Amoraim often say Psukim. This is the din. If this happens, this is the din. Analyze it. You analyze it on your own in the later generations. While the Stam and the Gemara doesn't say Psukim from scratch. They only take pre-existing Psukim, a Mishnah, a Brisa, an Amora, and analyze them by saying you can ask a Kashi, you can get a Teretz, you can analyze. So it could be Ravina Rashi Sofara means they were the end of those whose words are worthy of being quoted as a Psak. After them came the Stamaim, whose words are only worthy of being quoted as analysis, and that's why their names aren't there. Because they're not they're not being Mora, they're just analyzing.
And the Ran went by that Stam.
And maybe the Ran held Sofara, didn't mean wrote the Gemara, just meant ended the Psakim quoted in the Gemara. Which is also the scholarly consensus.
But we're not going by Rav Ashi.
What?
Theoretically. The Riff and the Rambam are not going like Rav Ashi.
Exactly why? Because the Stam is later. Because if the Stam is not Hora, okay, so you have to say that you have to have your cake and eat it too here. You have to say that on the one hand, the Sofara is Ravina Rav Ashi, after that was analysis. Nonetheless, within the analysis, can sometimes come out a Hora that beats Rav Ashi. So I'm having my cake and eating it too.
Didn't you say that they were still the Sof Hora in the sense that they wrote the Gemara? Yet nonetheless, Rav Ashi, when he was a Das Yachid, would stick his name on it versus the consensus in the Yeshiva, which is the Stam.
But that's not, they don't say Rovin Yachid, they say Basra. Right.
The Ran
doesn't say it because of Rabin and Yachid.
It was later.
The Ran says Basra. Okay, anyway, Lamaisa, we're not getting into the mechkar here of who wrote the Gemara, but I'm just pointing out that many Rishonim assume Ravina Ravashi wrote the Gemara. This Ran sounds like Ravina Ravashi did not write the Gemara, the later Stamaim wrote the Gemara.
Is there a reason to assume that this portion of the Gemara was from a later source, if not for the fact that the Rishonim passed him like that?
I mean, unless you hold all the Stam is later than Ravashi. Right?
And are they consistent throughout Shas, or we're just trying to
doke out? That's why I said I don't know. I have to look up every Ran and see what he says. But the Ran sounds like he's consistent. He says in Pesachim also he passed like the Stam against Rav Ashi, right? Okay, The
you explicated Professor Alidney's position very well. That's his position. And
I know I did. I just wasn't sure if you're allowed to quote him in a reach here. So I left that out for you.
the Lashon of the Gemara suggests the Rav Ashi is coming like after Kron.
Oh, but that
responding to the Mesbeth.
I understand. And the Shlua really brings that in another case where it says, why is Rav Ashi after... But that's okay, because the derech of the Stam is that they build the conversation and stick the Amorim in whenever they feel that is the best place in the conversation to stick them in.
Right, but that itself might be a good refutation to the Ron's Pshat.
Correct, I understand that.
Afterwards.
I understand that. Okay, the Tosos Ria Zakein also wants the Paskin against Rav Ashi, but he doesn't want to start fooling around with Stam, so he finds another reason to pass against Rav Ashi. I mean, he himself brings down two deists, but at least he brings down a possibility when he's defending the Rav. What does the Tosos Ria Zakein says? That we are not like Stam. What does he say? Why did the Rav pass against Rav Ashi? Because it wasn't just the Stam talking until now. It was... Who was talking until Rav Ashi? Rabbi Elazar was talking until now. You know, whether he's literally talking or whether we just knew for sure what he would say doesn't matter. But like, his shita. It was not the Stam until, it was Rabbi Elazar until now. Until now it was Rabbi Elazar, and then it's Rav Ashi. It's a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, Rav Ashi. Ah, and a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, Rav Ashi, how would you paskin? If you only had Daf Ches? Like Rav Ashi is Basra, but luckily we have Daf Ches. And in Daf Ches it says, Hilchazak Rabbi Elazar. So says those Riazakin, it's Machlokas for Elazar Rav Ashi, and it says Hilchasa for every Elazar. So therefore, the Hilchasa, obviously the Hilchasa wins. It's a Hilchasa. Same way he says, Poskim, Kirabi Elazar, Neged Rav Ashi. And first of all, it's his assumption. His assumption is.
So that's from the stamp.
First of all,
you know that otherwise.
No, it doesn't matter. Hilchasa's always win.
But in order to be against Rav Ashi, it has to be another door after.
Okay,
that.
But
saying that.
Okay, no, but all the Rishonim agree the Hilchasas were added later. So maybe some of them say by the Gonim, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so the mindset, he just makes an assumption. It's not the Stam talking to Rav Ashi. It's Rav Elazar talking to Rav Ashi. If so, Machlokes to Rav Elazar, Rav Ashi.
Right.
And since the Gemara says Hilchasas are Rav Elazar, that's Afuki from Rav Ashi. Right? Remember, the same Kasha Tov said, why didn't you say Hilchasas Shirei Lo Tzricha Shuma? Why say Hilchasas are Rav Elazar? No one argued on Rav Elazar. I mean, the Tosfos Ria Zakein doesn't like this in the end, but it's not so crazy. When it helps the Rabbi Elazar, no one argued on Rabbi Elazar. The answer is yes, Rav Ashi argued on Rabbi Elazar. It's Vaskin like Rabbi Elazar against Rav Ashi. Okay, very clever. However, the Gra said something a little different. Says the Gra, like Yonatan, the Gra was Bechamah to Yonatan. What did the Gra say? The Gra said, you know what? They didn't Vaskin against Rav Ashi. The Gra said, you misunderstood the whole Sugya. That's the way the Grod defends the Rambam and the Rif. You misunderstood the whole sugya. No lumbus here. But a very clever pshat in the sugya. Says the Grod, you put the wrong number of tabs. This is most mefarshim say Teretz 1, Teretz 2. There's a kasha from the Brisa of Rabbi Elazar. Teretz 1 is the Brisa is Zu, Rabbi Elazar Stam. Teretz 2 is the Brisa is Mona B'Holech, Rabbi Elazar is not Mona B'Holech. Says the Gra, and again, the Gra has a long piece, I'm just teasing out the part that's the actual answer. Says the Gra, no. I guess the Gra will be.
This is the Gra on the sheet?
Yeah.
It's on the bottom.
This is the Gra on the sheet. Says the Gra, but I understand, you have to read him 6-7 times in order to fully appreciate what he's saying. Kedarko Bakodesh. Says the Gra, this is where Rav Ashi go. Oh, hold on a second. I apologize for making everyone. Says the Gra, Rav Ashi goes here. Rav Ashi is the chia of the Hachinami Mestabra. There are two ways to be docha the Hachinami Mestabra. That's what Rav Ashi's doing. I mean, Rav Ashi's very short. Mona v'holech shiny d'daita akule, he says 5 words, sachakol. What's he doing? He's not saying another shita. He's saying the chia of the Hachinami Mestabra. What does Rav Ashi say? No, efshar d'resha Bimanestan Umone Vaholech Shiny. He's being Doch Lachinami Stabra. Remember the Hachinami Stabra. What's Hachinami Stabra? The Risha must be Manezo. Because if the Risha is Manestam, why do you need the Seifa? The answer is, you know why you need the Seifa? If the ratio is manastam, you'd need the Seifa. Because maybe Mona Holach is different and you wouldn't know the Seifa. Right? You still would have needed the Seifa because the ratio is Mona Holach. That's different. And you still need the Seifa to teach you even if it's not Mona Holach. So the way the Gemara reads the Gemara is, let's review. The Gemara says, it must be the ratio is manastam. Because if the ratio is manazu, wouldn't the Seifa be obvious? One way of getting out of the Hachnami Stavra is, yeah, the ratio is manazu, but the ratio is manastam, but we didn't know that till the Seifa was miklau. Ravash says, no, the ratio is manazo, but we didn't know the Seifa yet. Because that's manazo mono b'holich. We don't know what would happen if it wasn't mono b'holich, so we still need the Seifa. But in which case, he's not, the ratio is manastam, but we wouldn't know the Seifa, because that's only mono b'holich. But Ravashi's not paskining. Ravashi just being docha the Hachinami Mastabra, meaning you could have said the ratio is manastam. He's not saying this is shot in the ratio, he's just saying what you could have said. Now, here, try to follow me. When you're docha a Hachinami Mastabra, you're just saying what you said wasn't muchach, you could have gotten out of it. Mm-hmm. It could still be right, just you could have gotten out of it. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between the green Ravashi and the red Ravashi? The difference is the green Ravashi is saying Mone v'holeich shiny. The red Ravashi is saying that you could have said Mone v'holeich shiny. But he's not saying that's the answer, just what you could have said to be Dokla Hakanami Mastabra. Where does the Gra actually say this? The Gra actually says this when he says, 1 second. Upirish, the tiritzer of Ashi, Kayam Asha Sha'amur Sham Hakanami Mastabra. Ravashi is not going on the original question. He's going on the Hakanami Mastabra. I'm reading from the middle of the sixth line of the Gra, Upirish, the riff in the Rambam understood. The Tirat Ravashi, Rashi, the answer is not going on the original question. It's going on the Hachinam Mistabra. They say, oh, it's not Hachinam Mistabra because Imisham Ha. Ravashi Gomer to love Hachilo Kashi. And he says, even without that, I have another way that the Hachinam Mistabra is not a proof. The Monohol is shiny. The little Docha El Shane, do you come Isham? He's only Docha, it's not a Hachinam Mistabra. He's not saying this is true. This is what you could have thought theoretically. He agrees with the answer of Manazu. He's just saying, you could have theoretically thought that Mona Baholik was shiny, but he's not passing that way. He's just saying what you could have thought. That's the ultimate difference. The major understanding is there's a stira, two ways of resolving the stira for Psak. According to the Gra, no, there's a stira, there's only one way of resolving the stira. Manazu is different than Manastam. Then there's a side point. Could we have a Hachinam Mistabra? Could we prove it's Manazo? No, it could have been Manastam because of this reason, or it could have been Manastam because of that reason. But that's just what it could have been. It's not a real answer. It's just being Dov Hachinam Mistabra, and therefore no one's against Ravashi in the first place. He says that Ein Stira. There's no Stira at all, because Ravashi never paskin Mona B'Holech Shiny. Just says you might have theoretically thought Mona B'Holech Shiny. But that's not his psak, because Ravashi has four tabs and not two tabs. That's the machlokas between the Gra and everyone else. Let me just point out that according to the, there's one part of the beginning of the Gra I'm not so sure that I agree with, meaning the riff is saying, if you say Monazu and Mona B'Holich, then she can still back out. But if you would say Monastam and Mona B'Holich, she can't back out. What if you would say Monazo, but you weren't Mona B'Holich? What if you just say Monazo, and you gave her a dinar? So the Gra thinks, if you just said Monazo and you gave her a dinar, then she can't back out, even though you said Monazo. I might have said otherwise, that no one would ever say Monazo and just give her a dinar. Because if you said Monazo, you have to either count or give it all to her. Like, why would anyone ever do that? Okay, but I'll leave that for your own judgment.
That's not how the riff is possible, no?
The riff says if you say Monazo and Mona B'Holich, you can back out.
That implies that if you just gave Monazo, you cannot back out.
Or it implies that there's no such metzias, because why would anyone say Monazo and give a dinar? That's craziness.
They want to be crazy, but...
Okay, yesh l'ayin, fine, yesh l'ayin. Anyway, okay, so that's the I think the Grum makes the most sense. I don't know what makes the most sense, but that's the Grum's defense, the Rambam and Riff from Rabbeinu Chananel, that they weren't passing against Rav Ashi. They just didn't think Rav Ashi was a psak in the first place. He was just a tangent of a Hachinami and Stavra of what you might have thought theoretically if it had been Manastam, but he wasn't actually poskening. He's saying the same thing, Monum Holoshayni. The question is, he's saying it as a terrorist for the halacha? Or is he saying it as a theoretical dechiyah of a theoretical Hachinami and Stavra, what you might have thought, but he's not actually poskening that?
Why can't there be a psak addition, meaning that it goes on the fact that the ratio is Manazim? But it's not just the fact that the ratio of the Manazim,
okay,
not someone of
those. That is really the first answer of the Talmud of Rashi, which I put in brackets. The sugya doesn't flow as well because it sounds like he's answering something. But right, the Talmud of Rashi makes that suggestion also. He wasn't giving an alternative teretz. He was just adding that you need mona v'holei. Just the lashon doesn't sound, but it could be. Look in the Talmud of Rashi. He has two answers. That's his first. Okay, let's just go on very briefly to finish the sugya so we can move on. Last line of the sugya asks, you got the board, right? Dina ra harizim gadeshes v'yachlef. Where am I? After Rav Ashi. Yes. End of the first widest line. Hai dina shel nechoshes heichidami. What's the case of the copper dinar, meaning the counterfeit dinar? If she saw that it was, meaning it didn't say it was copper and painted silver. It just says copper. So she saw it was copper and accepted it. Savra kibla, that she accepted it. She accepted it. She has the right to be moko. It must be a case where they're saying mimadashach, right? If it was copper, everyone sees the difference between copper and silver. It's a very poor counterfeit. So if she didn't, that show she was mochel and she agreed. No, it must be he gave it to her at night and she couldn't see what color it was. Inami dishtakla bene zuze, or he gave her a big bag full and she found it in the middle and she didn't look at it because she only looked at the general pile and she didn't open the pile and see every one until later. Okay, hi dina rahi chidami.
If there's a dissonance between what he says and she sees that it's different, but she accepts that's not a problem, that I've said something.
That's apparently, that's not a problem. I mean, Sarf of a Kibla. Apparently, that's not a problem.
That we knew from the beginning of the studio, from Rabbi Elazar, that he says something. He
no, but there he was turning into he's turning into pain later. Here, he's being mochel legamrei. Okay, but lechora, right.
What's the thing about being a balaila? She couldn't see it was mechoshes. If it was a lila, even if he gave her the right amount of stuff, she didn't see what she was getting.
But apparently that's okay because she assumed that when people say amana, they give you amana, and that's good enough. It's not like she doesn't know the shiroi and the even to, you know, here, because that's the kind of thing which she's really nervous about because it's hard to figure out, etc. But here, like, you know, obviously he's giving her 100. He knows she's going to count it. So that has smichus das. Whereas, hai dinar ra, hei dummy. What's the case of the worn dinar? Idlo nafik. If it's so worn that you can't spend it, meaning you go to the store and they wouldn't accept it, literally doesn't go out, doesn't circulate, right? If it's so worn that they won't accept in the store, then that's the same as a copper dinar. It's a counterfeit dinar by now, right? It's not a dinar. You can't. It's not worth anything. It's worth to melt it down for the, but it's not worth a dinar. It must be meaning if it was perfectly spendable, then it wouldn't be a dinar ra. It would be a dinar tov. If you couldn't spend it, then it's not even a dinar ra. It's a counterfeit. Rather, nothing like the etchak, with difficulty you can spend it. Meaning you go around and you schlep to different stores and find the storekeeper that makbid and nudge him and ask nicely and say pretty please and he'll accept it. So you can spend it, but it's hard to spend it. So that's an in-between situation. In that case, Mekudeshes, she's Mekudeshes because it isn't dinar. But the Yachlef, he owes her to switch it. The question becomes, so there's a big machlokas we've shown him here, I'm not going to get into too much, but between the Ran brings down two opinions about this. What does it mean v'yachlif? The same exact suffix as we had in v'yachlif. Doesn't mean you have to have the same shita. V'yachlif means if he switches, she's mukudeshes, if not. That's the first day in the Ran, and that's the shita in the Me'iri. Or v'yachlif means she's absolutely mukudeshes. He just owes her to switch it. That's the second day in the Ran. And the Ravid. The Rambam's not so clear. The Rambam says, if it's nafagal yidei chak, she's mekudeshes, and if not, she's not mekudeshes. The Ravid understood, if it's nafagal yidei chak, she's mekudeshes, and switch it, And if not, not mekudeshes. I'll redo the lashon. I can erase the board, right? Yes.
Yeah.
The, oh, here. I don't have to erase at all. Just so that I even could have kept the penultimate yud. Mekudeshes. The yachlif. We have the same two opinions, says the Meiri and the Ran in his first possibility. He says, no, if he's machlif, then mekudeshes. And if not, then ain't a mekudeshes. Let's say he dies before being machlif, then she's not mekudeshes, she's not an almana, she's never married. However, the Ravid and the Ran in his second day is saying, no, 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 she's unconditionally mekudeshes. Unconditionally mekudeshes, just he owes her the yachlif. He owes her to switch it. He is a chov that he should switch it. The Rambam seems to have been misunderstood here. The Rambam says that Nimzer Dina Ra and Yecholo Tzial Yedchak Yachlifenu V'yim Lav Eina Mekudeshes. Says the Rambam, Im Yechola Lehotzio Al Yedei Hadchak Yachlifenu. Right? V'im Lav Eina Mekudeshes. What is the imlav going on? So the Ravid understood. The Ravid understood that the imlav means if he's not machlif, he should be machlif, and if he wasn't machlif, she's not mekudeshes. And therefore, the Rambam held that it was conditional. So this is the Rambam, according to the Ravid, held. Well, it depends. If he's machlif mekudesh, if not machlif, not mekudesh, im lav ein mekudesh. And the Ravid argued on him, right? Remember, the Ravid was on the other side. There he says, the Rambam's wrong, not true. Eino kein, the hachi isa, the Gemara, it's not true.
So weird, Ravid.
I didn't understand this rather because I didn't know what he was talking about.
Because it could also be going on like for the tail of the
attack. Exactly, that's how I read it.
I know, but how could the Rambam not have read the Rambam that way?
Just to be fair, first of all, it depends which Rambam you have. I have now the old-fashioned Rambam, right? Then the Rambam is very hard to understand. Eino kein, the hachi isa b'gemara chulei. Not true, because this is what it says in the Gemara v'chulei. For some reason, the printers of this standard Rambam decided to put a v'chulei into the Ravid. The Ravid didn't write v'chulei. Right? What did the Ravid really write? So it's not a secret. You don't need this if you have the Shabbos of Frankel. But here, I don't need the Shabbos of Frankel. I can just look at when the Magen Mishnah quotes the Ravid. The Magen Mishnah quotes the Ravid. It says that, Eino kein, the hachi isa bigmara, nimzer dina rav zir b'tu deshes v'yachlif, le'inyan mone tan yachlif, avol afagav delo hechlif mekudeshes. Clearly, the Rambam saying, even if he wasn't machlif, she's absolutely mekudeshes. He understood the Rambam is saying she's only mekudeshes if he's machlif. That's clear. I mean, if you have the full dress of the Rambam, that's clear. But most mefarshim say that's not what the Rambam meant. What do most mefarshim say the Rambam meant? Exactly.
Do you think there's a reason why the Rambam couldn't see it being?
Okay, give me half a second. Most are saying no. It's im v'im lav. Right? The im v'im lav always has to be parallel. If it's a chol tziyol de chak yachlif, and then he's not getting into this machlokas, and if it's not yol tziyol de chak, then she's not mekudeshes. That's obviously the push-up shot of the Rambam. That's so obviously the push-up shot of the Rambam, the v'im goes with the im, right? That you wonder why the Ravid misunderstood the Rambam so bad. So the Magen Mishnah says maybe the Ravid had a corrupt ear, so the Rambam, and he would never have made such a terrible mistake in understanding the Rambam, except he must have gotten a bad girsa. So I don't know. Did the Ravid just somehow, for unexplicable reasons, have a bad shot on the Rambam? Or did the Ravid taka just, he got a Rambam with a bad girsa, and that misled him through no fault of his own? The Magen Mishnah say no fault of his own. I have no way of knowing. Lemaisa, the pshat of the Rambam is just emichol lotzio yachlifenu, and if emichol lotzio ainu mekudeshes, and the Rambam's not getting into this machlokas at all. He's just quoting the Gemara, and he's not getting. What did the Rambam hold about this machlokas? We don't know, because he's not talking about that. That's the pashup shot in the Rambam. I'll just end very briefly with what's the svar for these two sides? You would think be manavshach. If it counts as a dinar, then he doesn't have to switch it. Right? I mean, in all of Shas, if something's like Deyat Chak, there's a machlokas whether it counts or not, or a suffix, right? Whether it counts or not. If something's edible like Deyat Chak, is it edible?
What does it mean it's counting as a dinar?
Okay. Good point. So
the value of the
right. So the maisa, but you understand the question. The question is mikudeshes. If it's a dinar, she's mikudeshes. Why does he have to switch it? And if it's not a dinar, then she's not mikudeshes, right? Then he only gave her 99 dinar, not a money. So lachora, the pshat is that if you take this, if you take this approach, the Ran answers a little. What does the Ran say? Her da'as was that she accepts it if he switches it, right? Her das was al tanai. Really, when I give you a worn out dinar, the assumption is that there's an implicit agreement that if you switch it, I agree, and if you don't switch it, I don't. Okay, so that's an implicit tanai. He says her das was she's not mocked it as long as he switched it. Okay, so here you have to say the svara is an implicit tanai. Right? And what if you take the approach of the sounds like the maskana of the Ran, although he doesn't explicitly say maskana, he just says efshar this way. But usually we assume people lean more towards the last possibility. And mefurish in the Raifit, that the Raifit says mefurish, that mekudesh is either way. He just owes the Ran, Ran says he owes a chov. What's the svara? So the svara here is not 100% clear, but I saw in the stipler that I put in the brackets, then he says, like, what's the svara here? Like, if she's mekudeshes, then it's a mana. Why does he have to switch? And if it's not a mana, she's not mekudeshes. So what's pshat? Like, if it's a mana, why does he have to switch it for her? So unless maybe you have to say back to the tzvei dinim that we said before for the meiri. Maybe there's some tzvei dinim here. And, because it's actually easier to say tzvei dinim here, because once she's absolutely mekudeshes, it's easier to say that there's an absolute obligation. So maybe you have to say the same tzvei dinim. This is what the stipler says. The Rav in Ishiurim said something very similar to this. I wasn't sure if I understood precisely what he was saying. But you have to say tzvei dinim. Mitzad ha... mitzad maisa hakidushin, maybe not, meaning I'm not talking about tzvei dinim tonight here, but mitzad maisa hakidushin, then it counts as a dinar. But besides maisa hakidushin, there's another tzad. When I say you're mekudesh me with money zoo, number one, I mean the maisa hakidushin is on the money. The answer is it counts as a money. How do we know it counts as a money? Because it has a chalos dinar. We know it has a chalos dinar because the Rambam passes in Hilchos Maaser Sheni. You can only be poder Maaser Sheni on a coin that circulates, and if it circulates al yedei chak, you can poder Maaser Sheni. It's a chalos shem chetza of a coin, right? But okay, maybe there's slightly different tzvei dinim. There's something else. Number one, when I say kedusha b'mana, number one, I mean the chetza of the maaser kedusha with the mana. Number two, I mean I am paying you a mana for kedusha. There's a price for the kedusha. I'm paying you the price of a mana. Mitzad. Right, the tmurat hakidushin. Right, that's the chiddush here. Maybe every time I say you're mekudeshes to me with $100, I mean two things. Number one, the maisa kedushin is the heft of $100. Number two, I'm willing to pay you the price of $100 for the kedushin. And maybe those two separate things, there's tzvei dinim. That's the big chiddush here of the stipler. Every kedushin is tzvei dinim. When I say mekudeshes is $100. I mean, or at least when I say a fixed amount. It could be when I say Harei Mekadeshli Bazet, there's only the dinner of Maisa Kedushin. I don't mean to be mocked on the price. When I say Mekadeshli with $100, I mean two things. A, the Maisa Kedushin with a heft of $100. B, the price for your agreement is $100. That's what I think is a fair price. So what if it's Yotzel Ded Chak? Mitzad the Maisa Kedushin, it's a heft of $100. But what about the fair price? If it's Yotzei Ded Chak, that's not a fair price. I really owe you a good dinar. And therefore, then, it doesn't count as full payment. Okay, this is a big chiddush. This is a big chiddush that every time I say you're kedesh with $100, I mean two things. the technical, the formal Maisa Kedusha with $100 formally, and economically, it's worth $100 to me, and that's the price of your agreement to marry me. So therefore, mitzad, the formal Maisa Kedusha, it counts. The Maisa, it's not al yedecha, counts. If I cook something on Shabbos, it's el yedecha, I'm mechal Shabbos. If I, you know, if I have a coin that's yotzei al yedecha, it's a coin for parts of the Maisa Sheni. Most things, many things al yedecha count in the Torah, although many don't. But mitzad, the tmura, mitzad, the exchange, I promised you a certain exchange. I didn't pay you everything that I owe you yet. I still have to make good on my debt, because I said I'm going to pay you 100 dinar, and I didn't give you 100 dinar. I gave you 99 dinar and one dinar that you're not so happy with.
Suppose, I don't know, I mean, if we're talking about, let's say, banks, which ultimately this guy got stuck somehow with a dinar that wasn't was mishusha. Now what's he going to do? Is he going to be mashlim something? Or he's going to go to find somebody else also that'll exchange with him. In other words, nobody's going to lose here because someone
but she's going to lose because it'll be dechak for her to find someone. The loss is that it's dechak. And the truth is, the Meir, yes.
The
Meir, yes. There's a Gemara elsewhere that says that you shouldn't be so machped. You should just accept it and not be so machped on it. So he says, okay, well, maybe she wants to be machped. He says, no, maybe it's between men and women. Men go out in the shuk, and I used to argue with people all the time in those days. So for them, it's not a big deal. But for the woman, it's lona imla. And therefore, that's a loss. So it's a heft of kesef formally, but it's not fair in terms of what you promised her. It's a fair exchange. You didn't make good on your side of the deal. Therefore, you still owe her.
Okay, two things. Number one, can you force a piran achov with dinarim or a kesef that's yotzei al yedei chak? Let's say I owe someone money, so I can pay them back even against their will. Can I use even money that's yotzei al yedei chak?
That probably depends on the 2 days in the Meiri, whether only a woman it's not good for or a man also. But if we assume that there's no difference between, that's not a gender issue, there's no difference between women and men, then these Rishonim would say, I can't force him. No, I can't force him.
Okay.
Maybe all the Rishonim would say, I can't force him to accept a dinar mishuf shaf, a worn-out dinar. I can't. It would be nice of him to accept it, but I can't force him.
Okay. Second thing is, I'm still not clear. In her mind, she wants $100, right?
Yes.
And you gave her really $100, but that last dollar would be difficult to use.
In her mind, she wants $100 that is, she wants $100 that's worth $100 to her. You gave her a heft of $100, but it's not worth $100 for her, because now she has the chak.
So then it's not a heft of $100 to her. So therefore, it should not be mikudesh.
So you have to...
I mean, because this is all in her das. I'm saying you want to make this public, but it's all in her das. So
I hear what you're saying. So unless you then have to... it's a good taina, meaning you would just lean more towards the Meiri in the first day in the Ran. Yeah, it's a her das, that as long as it works out in the end, that's good enough. You know, you can switch. I'll give you another chance since you made a good effort. You made a good enough effort, I'll give you a chance to switch.
I was expecting some, like, you know, like a floaty svara of, oh, we really want women to be happy and stuff. Something kind of fluffy like that. Because I don't know what else you could say. But this
I don't know how to move my fingers so quick, sorry. So I just said this. My fingers, me, yeah. I hear your time. Your time is, look, what am I saying? Tzvei dinim. In her, she doesn't know tzvei dinim. Either she's satisfied or she's satisfied or she's not satisfied. Unless... In her mind also, she's like, well, this is the Kiddushin I said, but yes, I hear the Taina. It's a good Kasha. I might have to leave the Tzarkiyah.
So in the standard Nekach and Nemkar that's Kiddushin. We agree $100 for this laptop, give him a bag of coins, take it from me. And then when he's looking at them, he sees there's one that's Ayvei Lecha. Does he have any Taina against me?
So I said that's 2 days in the Meiri. What one day in the Meiri is that men have no tainas, because the men can handle a little dechak. But let's assume the other day, there's no difference between men and women. Then yes, he has a taina against you that you have to switch it for a good one. Same as she does. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll leave it for now, although I admit that Yonatan has the upper hand at this point. We'll leave that for Tzarki. Okay, now we are... miraculously, we still have a few minutes left, and we're even up to today's Makoro sheet. Okay, this is a good precedent. The Rashba here has a line which brings in some very, very yesodistic, or to be properly yesodi, right? No one should accuse me of anti-Zionism. Some very fundamental questions about the nature of Tanai. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says later on, Daf Samach Aleph, that for a Tanai to be valid, it has to be a Tanai Kafel. It has to be a few other things also. But the main thing they discuss is Tanai Kafel. Meaning, if I say, let's imagine just a theoretical scenario. Let's say I'm the leader of the Jewish people and we're standing in the Transjordan and two Shvatim want to settle in the Transjordan. Right? And I say, well, that's very nice, but you're not going to pull your weight in the battles in Israel proper. And they say, oh, we will. Sure, of course we will. So I say, fine. If you go and fight with your brethren, or even in front of your brethren, right? If you go and fight in Israel proper, then I'm hereby giving you the land of Transjordan, go build your cities, etc., etc. So in that case, the Tanai is not valid. In that case, they get the Aver Yarden unconditionally. What do I have to do if I want the sign to be valid? I have to say, if you fight, you will get the Aver Yarden, and if you don't fight, then you won't get the Aver Yarden. That's the Shita of Rav Meir, who we seem to paskin like. The Shita of Rav Meir, who we seem to paskin like, is that you need a Tanai Kofel. If I'm not Kofel the Tanai, anyone remember in high school math, right? The converse, the inverse, and contrapositive, and all those other confusing things, right? That they pointed out, right? That if I say if X then Y, that doesn't mean if not X then not Y. So we thought that was just annoying math teachers, but in fact, that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel was with us, but Rabbi Meir was with the math teacher. If I say, if you fight, you get the Aver Yarden. If you don't fight, you also get the Aver Yarden. If I want it to be a real condition, I have to say, if you fight, you get the Aver Yarden, and if you don't fight, you don't get the Aver Yarden. Well, and how do we know that? Because that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu said. He says, if tavru chalutzim, etc., etc., then something, Eretz Hayard, Eretz, I'll give you this achuza, whatever the lashon he used. But v'im lo, then v'nochsub zochem Eretz Kanaan, unzatem lahem es Aver Yarden, whatever the pasuk was, lachuza. If you don't fight for no subsochem Eretz Canaan, then they live in Israel proper and they don't get the Transjordan. So we see where you need tonight kachol. The Rashba says that. What do we see in our Gemara? Our Gemara says it's like you said al menas, but it's still not a tonight kachol. It's really when I say Rebbe Kedeshli b'mana, it's really saying Rebbe Kedeshli al menas she'ashlam lachmana. But it wasn't a tonight kachol. How can it work if it's not a tonight kachol? And it's not our Gemara. We'll see is not really the best raya. But all over Shas, there's never a Tanai Kafel. What other example did we see this year?
The Esrog,
right? The Esrog. Harelech Esrog al Menashe Tachzirin Li Matan Menas LaHachzir. Right. The Gemara says if he gives it back to you, it's a Kenyan. If he doesn't give it back to you, it's not a Matana. So Tosas asks, but it's not a Tanai Kafel, right? All over Shas, there's never a Tanai Kafel. So what happened to the rule of Tanai Kafel? It's funny. There's like one sugya in the third perek of Tanai Kafel, and a handful of places Shas mentions it here and there, but every Tanai in Shas is not Kafel. Why is every Tanai in Shas not Kafel? So we can start with our sugya. Says the Rashba, how does this Tanai work if it's not Kafel?
You don't need it a lot.
So the answer is...
You don't need Tanai Kafel.
Why not?
No, he doesn't.
Okay, that's not what the Rashba says. The Rashba says you don't need a Tanai Kafel because
it takes place later. It's not true now.
Because it's al menas, it's retroactive. There's two kinds of Tanai. There's a Tanai of im and the Tanai of al menas. So, what's the difference between the Tanai of im and the Tanai of al menas? The difference is clear. What does our Gemara quote Rav Huna as saying? Kol omer al menas.
Yeah.
Oh, Mer Me Achsho.
The Rashba doesn't say that here.
No, it says Da'an and Hu'te Kamri.
What?
It says Da'an and Hu'te Kamri.
One second.
Give me a second. It's just that it's as if...
Hold on. I'll look at the Rashba. I'm an open-minded kind of fella. Says the Rashba, it's a very short one. He says, Yesh medakdekin mikan deba almanas e notzorach l'tnai kafel. Some people learn from our sugya that whenever you say almanas, you don't need a tnai kafel. And you also don't need to put the positive part before the negative part. Obviously, if you don't need to double it, you don't need to put the positive before the negative because there's only the positive, right? Why? Here he's giving it stam, and we say it's like an almanas, but we never said it's like kafel, and therefore that shows almanas works without kafel. What do we say? We say it works. It's like almanas. What does that sound? It's like almanas that works. Sounds like just almanas works. The chain das are being well fasi, and that's the shiva of the riff. Karavati was ever fair to Misha also, which is true. What does the Rashba see from here? Now, you'll tell me it's not the best raya. I know it's not the best raya. But let's start with the Rashba. The Rashba says, why in our sugya, right? In our sugya, right? Mikudeshes biyashlim. Why does the Tanai work if it's not a Tanai Kafel? So, what's the answer of the some people, such as the Rif, that the Yesh, what is his lotion? Yesh Medaktikin, the Rashba, and he doesn't put anyone as Medaktik otherwise, right? What's the answer? Yesh Medaktikin, the Rashba. Because it's Almanas. Almanas doesn't need Kafel, only Im needs Kafel, right? So says the Rashba, the shame. Yesh medaktikin, that almanas works even if it's not kafel. Oh, there's a whole gemara. Tonight needs to be kafel. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say almanas to benigadim leiruvim. What did he say to them? Im needs to be a tonight kafel, or else it doesn't work. There's a difference between im and almanas. That's what the Rashba says.
Based on what?
Based on what? We'll get there in a second. Who holds there's a difference between Im and Almanas? He points out the Rif does, right? It's a fairly explicit Rif in Gittin. Who else holds there's a difference between Im and Almanas? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, but on this, of course, the Rambam. The Rambam says very, very clearly there's a difference between Im and Almanas. Right, the Rif and the Rambam are the two most famous Rishonim who say there's a difference between Im and Almanas. This is the Shita of the Rif and the Rambam. Of course, how does the Avnei Miluim answer this kasha of how the Tanai works if it's not Kafel? I'm asking a trick question. He says it's not a Tanai because it's not Kafel. Exactly, right? Says the Avnei Miluim. He says, apparently he disagrees with this. I mean, he goes through and he says, what about those people who don't agree with her from the Rambam? He says that it's not a Tanai, because a Tanai, he basically says, in a Hanami, right? So how does it work if it's not Kafel? In a Hanami doesn't work, right? It's not a Tanai because a Tanai doesn't work if it's not Kafel. But what does he say, remember from last time? Or what was on the board there? It's not a Tanai, because a Tanai doesn't work if it's not Kafel, but when the Tanai doesn't work, it just becomes a stipulation instead of a condition. And therefore, you owe the money. It becomes a price instead of a condition. Right? And therefore, it becomes a stipulation of obligation instead of a condition, which is a shita. Remember, we pointed out, he is a fascinating machlokus with most mefarshim. If you do it tonight that's not kafel, what happens? Most of us assumes the Tanai disappears as if there's no Tanai. Dan Leon says, that's crazy. The guy said, it's Tanai. It's just that you could mean it two ways, as a condition or as a stipulation of obligation. And he meant it as a stipulation of obligation. Okay, but what might you have said if you didn't want to come to either of these conclusions? Let's say you're one of the Rishonim who holds that there's no difference between Im and Almanas. And let's say you don't hold like the Avnei Miluim. You hold this Mamish a condition here.
The Rush.
Then what does the Rush say?
It's as if
you
said it's
Tanai Kafel. It's as if it was a Tanai Kafel. Meaning, it's as if, they don't mean as if you said Almanas. They mean as if you said Almanas properly with a Tanai Kafel.
that this language, why? Because remember what you said, Harei Mekudesh Li B'mana. You said Mekudesh is B'mana. How could you possibly mean Mekudesh is without a mana? Right? Your language was so strong, Mekudesh is B'mana. You didn't say, if I give you a mana, Mekudesh is. That's a weak language. You said, I'm Mekanish you with a mana. That sounds like the mana is an absolute necessity, which is just as good as a Tanai Kafel. So that's what the Rush answers. Says the Rush that your clear language here is equivalent to a Tanai Kafel. Because you made it very clear that you mean absolutely a mana and not if there's no mana. Because you said you're Mekudeshes with a mana, which makes it very clear that without a mana you can't be Mekudeshes. The Sheet de Lono de Lami is awfully similar to this approach. He just says, basically the Rush says, don't bring a riot from this sugya. This is not really like a tznai that's not kuffel. This is really as good as a tznai that is kuffel. After all, he says, it's not really a tznai at all. You just said Mekudeshes with a mana. So, why you, the Avnei Miluim and the Rashba are both saying, oh, it's like Almanas without Kuffel, and then where do we go from there? Either go to non-Tanai or go to Tanai and beef up the riff and the, bring a riot of the riff and the Rambam. He says, he didn't say anything, so why assume that it's as if he said Almanas without Kuffel? No, it's as good as if he said Almanas with Kuffel. And the Shikol Nogumi, I think, says something which is functionally equivalent to the Rush. Where he says here, says Nirlamori, my Rebbe. Some people say his Rebbe is the Rashba, and he's quoting this Rashba that this is the proof for the riff and the. The master behead you does not have. If you shlomar the hacha, finally that came into ikker kedusha b'mana to lenu skashli b'mana kamer migmar lo darim kedusha el b'mana. Since here she the ikker said the ikker kedusha was the mana, she was very clear that the mana was an absolute necessity. So I think that here he's saying the same basic thing as the Rosh. Maybe his lush is not as clear. He doesn't say it's as if he said it's not kafel. But that's what he's saying. He made very clear that the ikker is the mana and that there's no way to have kedusha without the mana.
Functionally, any difference between that answer and the Rashba's answer? Saying the language makes it clear that even without.
Yes, because the Rashba's answer is broad and covers every case of Almanas, and this Lashon is narrow and only covers this unique case.
What case of Almanas do we have that isn't super clear the way the Rush sees this case here?
No, because according to the Rush, if I just said. If I actually said the words Almanas, if I said Hariat Mekudeshesli, Almanas, that I'll give you $100. Then the Rush and the Shita Nodumi would say that the Tanai is Batal and your Kodesh is without $100. That's a big difference. You might not agree with their intuitive reading of the words, but that doesn't change what their Shita is. A big difference. What about every case of Almanas? Every case of Almanas, the Rush and the Shita Nodumi would say the Tanai is Batal and your Kodesh is. The Riff and the Rambam and the Rashba here would say every case of Almanas, the Tanai is valid. And the Avnei Miluim would say it's not a valid condition, but it is a valid stipulation of obligation. We had a similar machlokes earlier in Daf Vav Amud Beis. Right? Daf Vav Amud Beis, right? Esrog al Menas Lehachzir. We had the same question. Why does the Tanai work if it's not a Tanai Kafel? Right? And we had many. Why does Tanai work if it's not kafel? And there are many things like that where people give matanos on Tanai. What was the answer over there? Who answered that? Tosos gave many answers, right? What was one answer of Tosos? What was our Tosos say? Our Tosos says, only says, some conditions are clear that you meant kafel. This is in the same direction as the Rush. I'm not saying it's the same sheet, though. The same direction, like, just get into your mind, it's as if you said kafel, right?
Says Tosos in Kiddushin, at least. He says that some cases have an omdina that you meant an absolute condition. He says, what's one of those cases? Esrog. obviously I'm not really giving you my esrog as a present and suggesting a cute idea of returning it to me. Obviously, I'm only giving you my esrog because you're going to give it back to me because I need to use my esrog. That's so pashut, right? Meaning, like, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't so pashut. Is it so pashut that he's only giving them Eivar HaYarden if they're going to go fight in front of their brethren? What else is he going to do with Eivar HaYarden? Maybe he really meant he's giving the Eivar HaYarden, but he wants to give them a Moser Shmuz that they should feel morally obligated, or according to the even legally obligated, right, to fight before in front of the, to fight with their brethren. But like, it's not so obvious that he really meant it to be conditional. He's just giving a muster schmooze, right? We all do this at home with our kids, right? We know we're going to give our kids, we bought this candy, we're going to give it to our kids anyway. Say, okay, if you're good, you'll get this candy. We know we're going to give them the candy in the end anyway. We just like want to give them a little muster and make a little incentive out of it. But that's not, when I give you my esrog amanas lahachs here, it's clear that I absolutely only mean amanas lahachs here. There's no two ways about it. That's pashut.
That possibility exists in Kiddushin. Don't we? Isn't that it could be that he's just giving Eivar HaYarden anyhow? Isn't that one of the ways to learn?
No, that's what Meir said would have happened if he didn't make the sign kafel. Okay, the hour is getting a little late just because. We have to finish by 10:50, so I have minus 2 minutes left, just because there is a guest shiur at 11 from Rav Tversky. So we'll have to continue this discussion next time. What are we going to do when we continue this discussion next time? Basically, we're not going to, you know, we could jump into the deep end in Tanaim and learn every sugi in Shas and spend many weeks on it. We're not going to do that. What I just want to do is, just by way of overview and introduction, what are the shitas of the Rishonim about this funny thing called Tanai Kafel? What are the shitas of the Rishonim about when you need a Tanai Kafel, when you don't need a Tanai Kafel? B, what is, Joel asked, what's the svara behind those shitas? Like, you know, just because you say this case, that case, that, there has to be a logic, there has to be a svara behind it. And C, to briefly, like, see how this touches on certain very fundamental questions about the nature of Tanai. So we'll pick up with that next shiur, but for Iker next shiur, we'll go on in the Gemara to the next Gemara, which is the very end of Chesamet Aleph and the first 10 lines of Chesamet Beis with Rashi and Tosfos and the Rosh and the Rashba, and I'll send that one over.
Are you doing the piece from the Rav or not doing it?
I'm going to refer to the piece from the Rav. Yes, I'm going to refer to it. Okay, have a great day. The shear is going to be here.